Psalms 118. I'm going to pick up where I stopped last week, down at verse 8 and 9. Psalms 118, down at verse 8 and 9. Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to preach your word. And Lord, I surely need your help. And I pray that you'd help me to be able to preach tonight. Help me to use just these verses that are here and be able to preach them in a way that people would understand them and be able to apply them to their heart. And I pray that it would help us maybe in our lives who are thinking of making decisions. And Lord, those decisions are based on maybe some guidance from someone or even from the government. And the reality is it doesn't line up with your word. And I pray tonight that we would see that. And Lord, I pray that our faith is in you. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. These are wonderful verses. Every verse of the Bible is a wonderful verse. But in these, our Lord gives us instruction. And he tells us where our faith or trust should be. It is better to trust in the Lord, right? Have faith, trusting in God. And he gives a comparison. It says, than to put confidence in man. God is telling us to trust in him and not in man. It's not saying that you can't have someone that that helps you out and things to that nature. But your confidence, what you're trusting in, is God, right? You know why? Because man will fail you, right? Man will fail you. Man does not know everything. God does. Man can't save you. God can. Man can lead you in the wrong direction. God never will. So the reality is he's telling us to put our confidence, our trust in God, trust in him. There's people that are trusting in people. They, as I was saying earlier, there's people that go to churches that don't preach the gospel, and they're being told from their spiritual leader, whoever it is that's there, is telling them, you're going to be okay. And what they're doing is they're putting their trust and confidence in that person. And then they die and they'll spend eternity in hell. And why? Because they put their confidence in man. Folks, can I tell you, he's telling us it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Don't. Again, he's not saying that you can't, trust someone. But what he's saying is that's our faith should be in God, right? Anytime someone tells you something that's contrary to Scripture, don't listen to it, right? As in, don't follow it. This world is trying to draw you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to put everything they can to try to get you away from the Lord. And our faith and confidence should be in the Lord. If the man says, hey, this is what you should do, and it's against the Scripture, then don't listen. I promise you, if you put God first, and the decision you make is always according to Scripture, you won't regret the decisions that you make. The decisions that you'll regret are the ones that are contrary to Scripture. I promise you, you will regret. In my life, I have regrets, and those regrets are all based on decisions I have made or things I have done that is contrary to Scripture. Things I have trusted in myself or following someone else. Sometimes Ariana will be talking, we'll talk about different things, or I'll bring up my parents. And can I tell you, there's many times, but when I got saved, I got right with my parents. I told them, I'm sorry how I lived and how I treated you, and I got things right with them. But can I tell you, there's still times I just think when I was growing up, how dumb I was, why did I do these dumb things, right? And I know I was lost. Why? Here's some of the things. It's my sin nature. It's because I wanted friends. And because I wanted quote-unquote friends, I went from a kid that I used to go to a church. Again, I wasn't saved. I went to church. And then I got out of church. I didn't go to church. And because I wanted to please friends, when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I said my first cuss word. And matter of fact, by the time I was in sixth grade, I used to say them all the time. Do you know why? Because of man. I want to please others. And I knew if for me to fit in, I had to start saying some cuss words. And for me to fit in, the reality is some of them, they start to use that smokeless tobacco. So you know what I did? I started to use smokeless tobacco. Why? Because I want to fit in. You know, and I can go through my life and look at it. Folks, can I tell you, there are the regrets that I have in life. The regrets, yes, I know I wasn't saved, or the things I did that is contrary to Scripture. Thank God I am forgiven, amen, but I still have scars from that, some physical and, you know, some just I remember. But anyway, then he says in verse 9, it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Here he's talking about like government. Right? Leadership, right? Now, he's not talking rebellion. He's not. And I'll show you in the scripture that. But what he's saying is this. Don't put your confidence in the government. Don't rely on the government. Amen? I mean, we're living in a day and age where people are relying on the government like for everything. Amen? And it's sad. Amen? It's really sad. There's people, you know, there's protests that are happening across America, and they're protesting because the current administration is trying to cut the government down, to try to get us to cut our debt, to be able to get things taken care of a little bit better. And there may be some agenda on it. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm kind of glad. You know why? You do know America's in serious financial troubles. We are in big trouble. I mean, we're almost in $40 trillion in debt. Think about that for a moment. That meant the amount of money that we're in debt, we can't afford it. We cannot afford the government that we have. We can't afford it. They have to cut it. Our government has $10 trillion that's coming up, that's very soon, that's coming up that we have to pay. So what they're going to do is they're going to have to do interest rates, right? Because they can't pay it. We don't have that money, so we would have to pay it. So it means you're going to get out another loan. Folks, what I'm saying is we can't afford it. And you have all these people protesting. And the reality is it's because they're following man. They're following government. The reality is this. It's sad. Do you know what will happen if our government, and this is all free for you, do you know if our government does not fix this? Can I tell you, if you're on Social Security, you should be so thankful that you have the current administration that you have, these, watch how I say it, right? Dumb Democrats, they are dumb. These liberals that are out there that don't want to cut stuff. Do you know that there's not enough money that will pay you Social Security? You should be thankful that this administration is trying to cut things. They had a protest down here, in Augsburg. Do you know that was all led from socialists, communists, Marxists, Democrats? It was a cover, right? So a lot of these protests that they're doing, please don't misunderstand. It's not a political rally. What I'm saying is we can't put our confidence in the government, right? Thank God that we have some people that are trying to cut waste and stop spending money, right? But can I tell you, if your confidence is in the government, you're going to be surely disappointed. Do you know that the government can just change and make things? Now, I'm thankful for the current administration we have. I'm thankful that President Trump has come out and put some executive orders in place and told some schools that says that if you continue to have this DEI, you will get no federal funding. Praise God for that. Amen. And because what they're trying to do is to get that out of the schools. Now, hear me. That in four years, if it's not a Republican, it's a Democrat. Do you know they do the same thing? Right? So what I'm saying is, it's just a matter of time that maybe Nance or whoever wins, but it's just a matter of time when a Democrat gets in, they will do the same thing. That's why schools teach this diversity and all this stuff, the gay things and stuff. They teach it. It's because if you don't teach it, they'll take the money out. And what happens when you take the money out? They can't afford it. So what it is all these school systems are relying on the government. Can I tell you, it was one of the dumbest things that was ever done, amen? And people fell for it, amen? And what is it? They're under the control of it. But anyway, don't put confidence. Because the government can change. Do you know there's governments that have crashed? And if you're relying on the government, and that's what you're relying for money to come in, it could crash. Our confidence should be in God. Not to try to get you all sad and stuff that you hear, amen. But what I'm saying is, governments can make you compromise. Governments can make you compromise. You know, you have to do this to get this. And here it is what he's saying. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes, right? Now, go over here to Romans chapter 13 before someone thinks that I'm telling you to rebel against the government. I'm not telling you to do that, I promise you. Look over here to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. In Romans chapter 13 verse 1 it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God." God has put the government, allowed the government to be where they rule over people, right? That's there. God has gave us government. And he says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good." He's not talking about a preacher. He's talking about people that are in leadership, right? He goes on and says, "For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." So here he's talking about the government. He's not talking about, as a pastor or anything. And what is he talking about? You know, some of the things is paying taxes. I don't like paying taxes, right? But the reality is that's the rule of the law, and I pay taxes, amen. But what do we see here? He's telling us God has put the government there, amen. And the goal of the government is to protect and to help people that's there. So I'm not against the government, amen. And we should abide by their laws unless those laws go against this book. When the laws go against the book, then you obey God, not man, right? So anyway, I'm not against the government. Don't ever think that I'm against the government that's there. But what I'm saying is, if you think back to what he was saying in Psalms, our faith and trust should be in the Lord. Our faith and trust should be in God, not man. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 21. In Proverbs chapter 21. Trust in the Lord. Look what the Bible says over here to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. In Proverbs chapter 21, down here verse 30. It says, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." Right? So we could see here, God's word, there's nothing against it. So whenever you have someone that tells you something against the scripture, well, the reality is they're lying to you, either willingly or unwillingly, or, you know, they don't know it. So anything that comes out and they say, "Hey, this is what you should do or how you should live, raise your kids," if it's against scripture, they're wrong. You're not going to like the it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man or princes, as in the government. Look what the Bible says over to chapter 16. In chapter 16. So again, we'll be talking about trusting in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 16. So this is, I'm not talking of salvation. Yes, you know, you trust in the Lord. To accept the Lord's salvation. This is talking about your living, your daily life. So in Proverbs chapter 16, look here, verse 2 and 3. I always enjoy these verses. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit, right? Do you ever have someone that's like, this is my way, it's always best, and you know what I mean? It's the best way. Well, you know, sometimes it's because you're biased. You're not really thinking, right? It's like, it's what you all have always done. And here it is, it says, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. God knows, right? God knows things. It'd be wise for us just to listen, right? To listen. But look what he tells us here in verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You want to make sure what you do is right, right? Make sure it never goes against Scripture, right? You know, you do, if something is clear in Scripture, you don't have to pray about and say, Lord, do I need to do it, right? You don't have to pray about that because you already know. God says, don't do it, right? Give an example. I don't sit at home and pray, Lord, should I commit adultery, right? Well, I don't need to pray about that, right? I already know the answer. No, right? I mean, you understand, it's quite easy, amen? So anyway, if it's clear in Scripture, you don't have to pray about it, right? But here it is, he's talking about our life. Commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, right? You don't know what direction to go. You're wondering, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, you pray about and say, Lord, this is what I know. This is my thoughts. This is what I was thinking. Can you help me? Can you give me direction? And God will give you wisdom of how to go, the direction to take, right? So again, you can go to man and ask questions. I'm not saying you shouldn't get counsel. Please don't misunderstand. Make sure you always get biblical counsel. But you can go to someone and they say, hey, do this. And it could lead you the wrong way. Trust in the Lord. Amen. God will never lead you in the wrong direction. Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you look down here, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. So whenever you go through a trial in life, realize it's common, right? Trials are common. Things that we go through is going to be common. It's not saying what you're going through may be common, but going through trials. But God is faithful. The government is not faithful. Man is not faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted more than you're able, but will with the temptation, I love this, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you think about that. The government is not going to help you. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying, you know, there's not things that the government doesn't do that or does that's not good. But the reality is, they're not going to help you, right? Of the spiritual decisions that you need to make in life. You may go to man, and the reality is they could lead you the wrong direction. Or you're in a trial, and the reality is in those trials, they may not give you the right advice. I have had, it's amazing to me. I have received phone calls for people that have called me, and they would ask, they say, Preacher, can you help me? You know, is this Bible Baptist Church? Can you help me? And I need some money. And I was like, you know, okay, you know. And I would just sit there and listen, right? And I don't know, to be honest, Mark, I don't know if they're telling me a good story or lying to me. I don't know. I just really don't know. But sometimes if they share with me and they start sharing with me and they'll ask for money, I will tell them, I say, well, it's a church. We'll give out money. I said, but I can help you, right, and try to help you, you know, of what you're going through. I was like, do you have a job? You know, I need some gas money or something like that. I was like, well, do you have a job? Well, no, I don't have a job, or, you know, what are you getting gas money for? You know, I'm just asking questions for him, right? Or have you done this, or have you done that, right? Some people get mad at me, you know? You know, if you ask me a question about finance, that means you have some, you know, I'm trying to help you, right? I'm trying to get people to think about it. Or, I need this to buy this, or whatever it is. I was like, well, do you really need that? Well, I'll tell you, Mark, some people get mad at you, right? My TV broke, preacher, I need a new television. I can't make it in life without a television. Well, you're going to find out then, amen, because I ain't buying you a television, amen. So anyway, I'm telling you, I should say, hold on a second, let me transfer this call to Chris and let Chris deal with you, amen. But anyway, I'm telling you, there's sometimes you hear all kinds of crazy stuff. You know what I try to do? I try to encourage people, say, hey, why don't you come to church? God can help you. You know? Oh, I can't do that. You know? Why can't you come to church? You don't have no gas money. I'll pick you up. I'm a lady. My wife will be there. I'm telling you, they give you all kinds of crazy excuses. I remember one time I had a preacher told me, someone said they didn't have any toys for Christmas for their kid. And that church, what they did was they went out and they bought toys for different kids, right? Just some stuff. And the lady contacted them, and he said, well, ma'am, if you come, you're able to pick out one toy that's there because we wanted to help some people in the community or whatever. And she came into there. She looked around, and she said, my daughter needs a bike. And he said, well, this is what was donated, right? There's, like, different gifts. No, she wants a bike. Can you buy me a bike? And he's like, well, ma'am, you came here because you need help. You wanted something. He's like, you can have any of this. Now I want a bike. He's like, well, then I guess you're not going to get her one. Because we're not going to. Folks, what I'm saying is sometimes that's how people are, right? There are some people who are just greedy and stuff. Anyway, the point I was going to make out of this before I ran down that rabbit trail that was this. God is faithful. He'll help you out of your trial. He will give you a door to go through. Amen? So if you're in a trial, God. Can I tell you that the man may not do that. Government's not going to do that. You could trust in the Lord. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. Amazes me, the people. That's where their confidence is in, right? That's what they're trusting in. Here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So our Lord says this as he's given the Beatitudes. Then down to verse 25. So he's telling us to make sure that our heart is right, our priorities are right. And down at verse 25, he says this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and your body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto a stature? And why think ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But see, here's the key. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself. things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The key that's in verse 33 is the key. God says that he'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. But put God first. Just keep God first in your life, right? If you keep God first and you do what God wants you to do, now I'll get to it. God, you still have to do your part. God will provide. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to take you to where that place that you talked about today. What was that steakhouse that you talked about down in Texas? What was the cult name of it?
Oh, Cattlemen's.
Cattlemen's. That means you may. That, I'm not saying that you're going to eat at the Cattlemen's. That just the name itself sounds good. Amen. I mean, it just sounds like it's right. You walk in there, it's like you pick out your steer you want or something. Amen. That just sounds like a good name. Amen. I'm not saying that you're going to eat a filet mignon, right? But God will take care of you. God will provide if you put him first. If you do your part and trust in the Lord and keep God first, God will take care of you. That's what he's telling you. He'll clothe you. He'll feed you, right? He'll take care of you. Look what the Bible says over here to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So, sometimes people look at those verses, but then they don't look at these verses, right? So, look what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 8, it says, Neither did we eat any man's bread for aught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Here was, they worked. While they were there on, you know, as missionaries, evangelists, pastors, they were there. They were still working. So that way, they even though they had the ability to say, hey, you know, can you help us out or there? They worked. They set the example. And look what he says here. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you that follow us, right? What he's saying is, you know, you think about it as a church. A church should take care of a pastor and missionaries and things to that nature. He says, it's not that we don't have that ability, but we set the example for you. We preached and taught you, but we went out and worked. We made tents and did other things and sold it. We provide it, right? And look what he says here in verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat, right? Well, I tell you, we're living in a society today, right? It's like, take care of me. You know, if we get back to this place where you just tell people, hey, you got to work. Amen. Now, I understand there's some people that can't work, right? That's different. I'm talking, there's people that can work and they don't, right? Folks, that just gets under my skin. Amen. And here it is. You see, Bible, right? The Bible's saying, right? Again, God said he'll take care of us. But here it is. He's saying, hey, but you need to do your part, right? If you're not doing your part, don't blame God. You're lazy, right? Do something, amen? Got to do something. Find something to do, amen? Make some money to be able to pay or be able to eat, amen? So when people say that, you know, especially this day and age that we live in, right? There's people that are getting mad. So now I'm a little politics, I guess, but it's... But you think about it, when there's people that get mad because there's people that can work that aren't working, and the government's giving them like food stamps or whatever, and now the government's saying, "Hey, if you're able to work, you should be able to work. If not, you're going to not get food stamps." There's an uproar of people. Ah, yeah. That's a biblical principle. You know? You know why you don't like it? Well, God said it. Amen. So you think about it, it's a biblical principle. I'm not talking about people that can't. There's a difference between people that can't. There's people that can. That's the uproar that's going on, right? Folks, can I tell you, that's Bible. So the reality is, you know what that means? Mark, you're responsible for your family, right? For you, right? Mark, you're not responsible for my family. I'm not responsible for John's family. I'm not responsible for your family. You're responsible for your family, right? Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes we won't get in a little bind or something like that and we can't help each other out, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? But reality is, we should take responsibility for our own actions. And if you do your part, God will help you, right? That's what God is saying. Trust Him, amen? God will help you. God will provide. Look what the Bible says over here to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, look down here, verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, and verse 14. The Bible tells us, notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, the Philippians, know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This church cared about Paul and his ministry, got behind the work that he was doing, and they supported him as a missionary. And they said, you know, whatever you need, we'll send to you to help you to be out on the field to get things done. And Paul still worked, right? It says, for even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity, right? I just saw something on Fox News. I think it was Fox News. I was reading it. There's a televangelist, I think it is, that is a billionaire. And he's selling his high-rise condo down in Florida for like $16 million or whatever. I mean, he is like almost, I'm rounding, the 1,000 richest man in the world. That's crazy, amen. Just crazy, amen. Paul's not saying, hey, send money so I can buy a palace over here. It was a need. It was a real need, right? It was maybe so he'd get money for food or whatever it was that's there. And that's what they did. They met that need. And it goes on. And look what it says. Not because I desire a gift. Paul said, I didn't ask for the money and say, hey, can you bring in the extra money for me as, you know, as a missionary to help me as I'm out on the road and things are a little bit tight. No one's buying my tent or anything that's here. And, you know, I'm sharing the gospel and being where he said, I didn't do it for a gift. I didn't do it to pat my wallet. I didn't do it to, you know, to make my 401k more. Look what he says here. But I desire a gift that may abound to your account. Do you know when you give to missions, There is something there, right? That God is keeping a record of it. It goes to your account. When you give money to missions and we send it to our missionaries, do you know when Brother Jeff Coat or Brother James reach someone and you have given money to that, it's to your account. You have helped them to be able to try to reach. I am not going to reach someone in India. Brother Jeff Coat has offered me, said, hey, would you like to go to India? I have been outright said no. Amen. He said, come on, why don't you go? No, I'm not going to India. But the reality is this. I said, well, God has called you to India. God has called me here. Amen. And he didn't ask me to go to stay there. He just asked me to go to preach like a revival of weeks or whatever. And I'll say, if you want me to go, you could take a CD or something of me and put it in. Amen. But I'm not going to India. But the reality is, you know how I go to India? How you go to India? If you give to missions, it goes to your account. That's a wonderful thing. And look what he says. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And look at this. An odor of a sweet smell, except a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Because this church got behind the work of Paul as a missionary that's going out, is trying to reach people. It was acceptable to God. Why? Because they gave it. They gave it for the right reasons. And here it is. When you do that, God is pleased. And because they were doing it for the right reasons, look what this next verse. Do you know a lot of times people take this verse and pull it right out of the scripture and they think nothing else is applied to it? You have to realize in context, he's talking about people that are have a priority of God, putting God first, caring about souls. They want to see people get saved. And then Paul wrote this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." These are people that were putting God first. And Paul said, hey, I want you to understand, you sacrifice and God's going to take care of you. If you're not trying to live for God, well, then that promise is, it can be for you, but it's not for you. Why? Because you don't care. Amen? You're not, God's not a priority. So anyway, what we could see is God did promise to take care of us. There's a verse in the Bible that's in Psalms 37, verse 25. I have been old and now I'm old, and I'm sorry. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. God will take care of you. You put God first, God will take care of you. I'm not saying that you're going to eat filet mignon. I'm not going to say that you eat whatever else is fancy that's out there. But God will take care of you. He will meet your needs. Amen? Just keep God first. Do you remember when Elijah, God went to the king, Ahab, and told him it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, and it's going to rain when I say so, when I tell you, right? And then he went by a brook, and as he stayed by that brook, God took care of him, brought ravens in. Those ravens dropped food. He would pick up whatever that food was, and he would eat it. He drank of that water. And then when that water dried up, he waited, and God said, hey, there's a widow lady. I want you to go to her house. And as he went to that lady's house, you'll find that in 1 Kings chapter 17, she had a little bit left that she was making for her and her son, and after that, she just figured she was going to die. She had no hope. And the man of God went to her place and looked at her and said, hey, ma'am, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that meal, make it, and feed me first. Then feed yourself and your son. And I'm promising you, God will take care of you until he sends the rain. That was faith, right? This is all she had. And now you have a stranger, even though it was a man of God, came in and said, hey, you feed me first, and God's going to take care of you. You know what she did? She had faith. She believed. And what she did, she made it. And for the next 3.5 years, even though it didn't rain, while others were struggling, because she had faith, God took care of her. Right? But you know, God's saying he'll take care of you. Right? One of the hardest things, I'm fascinated by it sometimes, one of the hardest things to talk about sometimes in church for people is finances. Really hard. It's not hard, but it's hard from the standpoint, sometimes it's like people just like, don't talk to me about finances, right? And I mean, think about it. You trusted God with your soul, right? Take you to heaven. And you're trusting him. And you know he's going to take you there. Why is it that you can't trust God with your finances? You know? You can. And what God is saying is, what you need to do is, if you have a job, pay tithes. 10%. That's what God asked. Now, you know what happens in our mind? Nope, can't do that. Well, when you do that, the reality is this. What you're saying is, God, your way is not going to work, but my way will. And I promise you, every time you do that, it's not going to work out. Amen? Put God first. If you haven't, I don't know who here tithes, who doesn't, right? If you have never tithed, can I challenge you? Go through the Bible and read, look it up, search it out. And what you'll see is tithing wasn't just during the law, it was before the law. Because some people say, you know, during the law, there was actually more giving, you know? But the reality is, all he's asking is to give you 10%. So if you make, you know, you make 10 bucks, give him a dollar, right? Make $1 million, we are friends. No, make $1 million, give him 100,000, amen? But I'm just teasing you. I'll be your friend if you have a penny or you don't have a penny. You have $1 million or you're $1 million in debt, amen? I'll still be friends with you, amen? But put God first. Start tithing. I'm telling you this, not just because of pastor, but I'm telling you this truthfully. I remember the first time I started to go back to church, and I remember hearing someone preach on tithing, and I was thinking, I can't do it. I just can't. I'm just being honest, Mark. I was just like, Mike, I can't do it. And after I heard the preaching, I was like, you know, if God saved me, why can't I trust him to take care of my finances? You know? So I did. I gave God 10%, whatever it is, 10% or more. Can't remember. This, I can only tell you what God did for me. Within a month time, I got a promotion at my job. And I wasn't making much money. But whatever I was making, I got back when because I got the promotion, was more. So you know what I did? I just tithed it. I just keep on tithing. I tithe, give offering. I don't just tell you to do it. I do it, right? And I could tell you, God has always taken care of me. There's been times, and I told you this, and I would not lie to you on this. There was a time in Hagerstown after I paid my bills and paid my tithes, and I promised God I would give some extra for missions. I did not have money for food. I'm just telling you what I did. And I said, Lord, I'll trust you. You know? Because I figured if worst case scenario, I can go to my mom's or, you know, find something, right? Or do something. And I, as God is my witness, I had someone knock on my door. It was the Cagle family. I rented from them downstairs. And they had a bag of groceries and said, God put this in my heart to give it to you. Amen. No one knew but God. And I still get a little teary-eyed on just thinking about it. Amen. God, no one knew. God did. And the reality is, what I saw for me, and maybe it was just for me for this example, was God was strengthening my faith so you could trust him, right? And I trust him, amen? Folks, what I'm saying is, put God first. You put God first. I promise you, God will take care of you, right? He will. It doesn't mean that you're going to have the fanciest car. It doesn't mean you have the nicest house. But God will take care of you. Now, there's more to that that you can get into, right? It's wise to budget, as the Bible says. Live within your means or under your means, right? Don't be getting in a bunch of debt, right? And blaming God, I can't do this. Well, you're in a bunch of debt. It's your fault. You're the one that did it, right? Ask God to help you get out, get a second job, to try to pay off their debt. There's a lot more that's there. The reality is this. Don't wait until everything's paid off, your house is paid off, your car is paid off, and you're 60 years old, and then you said, now I'm going to tithe. You're missing the point. Start today. I promise you, God, just take him at his word. He'll take care of you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach, and Lord, thank you for the message that you gave me and what's here. Lord, I pray that people would see that in your word and, Lord, apply it to their heart. And, Lord, I know what I told them is truthful. And, Lord, it's your word. When I look at it from a standpoint of how can 90% be better than 100%, Lord, the reality is what we forget is if we just look at numbers, we're just not looking at you. Lord, we can live better on 10%. I mean, you bless us. And Lord, but you just asked for 10. And I pray that if there's people here that don't do that or people listening, I pray that you would work on them. And Lord, that they would make that decision and put you first and just watch how you blessed their life. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.